Everyone, welcome in to another episode of the CG Business Advisor Podcast brought to you by CG Advisory. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this episode and all of our episodes. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, Apple, Spotify, etc. And as always, for more information about us over here at CG Advisory, you can head to our website at cgteam.com. You can also click on the podcast link, find all of our older episodes, and be on the lookout as you follow CG on LinkedIn or wherever you are on social media to catch announcements about future episodes, future guests, and the topics that we will be discussing on those episodes. Like the very important topic we have on this episode, Medicare, and specifically what to do about Medicare when you turn 65, and understanding, as our guest refers to it as, the alphabet soup of Medicare. Mike Lewis is a former partner in CG's healthcare services group and is now serving as director after his partial retirement in 2025. Mike is a healthcare professional with over 45 years of experience in the industry. Prior to joining the firm, he spent 27 years as a senior healthcare executive, bringing a wealth of knowledge in the medical practice management to CG Advisory. Mike is a recognized expert at identifying opportunities and solving challenges with medical practices, allowing doctors to focus on delivering patient care. Well, Mike, before we jump into things and discuss this great topic that we have here on this episode, I want the audience to learn a little bit more about yourself, your background, and your role at CG.
Certainly, Scott. So my background is that I have an MBA in health administration from Temple University, and then I spent 30 years as the administrator of a variety of medical practices, ranging from primary care to internal medicine subspecialties to surgery. I joined CG in 2005, and I'm one of the three partners that head up the healthcare niche in the firm. I work with our healthcare accounting team to provide additional insight on the revenue cycle issues for our clients. I also handle a large variety of consulting engagements for every type of healthcare entity, from medical practices to surgery centers to health systems. And I also provide oversight to CG Healthcare Solutions, which is our medical billing company.
That's great. We're obviously going to talk about Medicare here on this episode, but I always like to say, and this is something that we talk about in my walk of life, when someone wants to, we're trying to explain something to somebody or we're trying to get a point across, we always like to say to each other, tell it to me like I'm a third grader. Right? Like, dumb it down a little bit. What's the old saying? Keep it simple, stupid, right? So let's just get this out of the way. What is Medicare? Explain it to the people that don't know. What is Medicare?
Medicare is a federal health insurance program for people 65 and older, and for individuals with certain disabilities, including end-stage renal disease and ALS. Medicare started in 1965. And was implemented in 66. And so it's been in American life for over 60 years.
Now, you help a lot of individuals navigate all the complexities that come with Medicare, as we like to call it, or as you like to call it, the alphabet soup that is Medicare. As people start approaching the age of 65, how does the process work? How do you start to get the ball rolling to enroll in Medicare? What are the things you need to think about as you're approaching 65 and you qualify for Medicare?
So there are two different types of Medicare, basically, in terms of what individuals can choose from. Take one step back, and that is you start enrolling with Medicare during what's called the initial enrollment period, which is a 7-month period that starts 3 months before you turn 65 and ends 3 months after you're 65. Enrolling for Medicare is a relatively simple process depending upon your comfort level with technology. You can apply online for Medicare, or some people find it easier to make an appointment with their local Social Security Administration office, where one of the team members there will help walk you through the application. At that time, people need to make a decision about whether or not they're going to go the traditional route with Medicare or the Medicare Advantage route. This is where the alphabet soup starts to come into play. So traditional Medicare really has two parts. Medicare Part A, which pays hospital and nursing home bills, and Medicare Part B, which pays for outpatient services, such as doctor's visits, radiology, laboratory services. A number of years ago, Congress introduced what became known as Medicare Part C, or Medicare Advantage plans. What these are plans which are sponsored by insurance companies, such as Aetna, Cigna, Humana, and you enroll in one of those plans, and you have this instead of traditional Medicare. The big differences between these plans are sometimes with the Medicare Advantage plan, you might need a referral to see a specialist. Traditional Medicare, you never need a referral. Medicare Advantage plans may have a monthly premium that you have to pay in addition to the premium that everyone pays for Part B. I'll talk about that more in a moment. Medicare Advantage plans often have a yearly limit on what they will pay for medical services. Traditional Medicare has no limit. Medicare Advantage plans sometimes offer other benefits that traditional Medicare doesn't. For instance, there are benefits possibly for hearing aids or glasses or fitness services, whereas traditional Medicare doesn't offer those. Now, if you take the traditional Medicare route, you need to get a Medicare supplement. And again, this is where the alphabet soup gets even worse, because the Medicare supplement plans are standardized by the government, and naturally, they all have a letter. So you can pick different plans, and what is included in the plan is the same, irrespective of where you get the plan. So for instance, if you get an AARP Medicare Supplement Plan G, it has the same benefits as Aetna's Medicare Supplement Plan G. The difference is usually the premiums. Premiums differ by insurance company, and as we all know, we can rarely find a good rational reason why they differ. So on one side, you've got traditional Medicare and a Medicare supplement. The other side, you have a Medicare Advantage plan. A number of years ago, they introduced another wild card, and that is Medicare Part D, which is for outpatient prescriptions. And we strongly recommend that people get a Medicare Part D plan. Now, traditional Medicare is really not cheap. The current premium for Medicare Part B is $202.90 a month. But the premium is income dependent. So the base premium is $202.90, but it can go all the way up to $690 a month for Medicare Part B. Wow. The government looks at your income tax return for 2 years prior to determine whether or not you will pay a surcharge for your Medicare Part B. So in 2026, they look at your 2024 tax return. And depending upon your income level, there are surcharges that individuals have to pay. So if you take a look then at the Medicare B premium, the Medicare supplement premium, and a Medicare Part D premium, it adds up to a considerable amount of money. Now, you also have more freedom with traditional Medicare than you do with some of the Medicare Advantage plans, which is why some individuals continue to stay with traditional Medicare.
So that's wild. Like, let's say somebody is about to turn 65, they're thinking about Medicare, but they're also at the age where they are going to retire. Well, if the Medicare premium is going to be based on the 2 years of working prior to when you retire. So that's going to affect how much you're paying. It's almost, I don't want to call it a catch 22, but it's yes, you qualify at a certain age, but it doesn't matter. You're saying they look at the 2 years prior for your tax returns to determine how much you're paying on the premium. So let's say you were still working before the years before you applied for Medicare, it's going to be a different premium than maybe if you were retired a couple of years before you applied for Medicare.
But you can appeal.
Okay.
So if they've made a decision about what your supplemental payment will be and your income situation has changed significantly, you can file an appeal at the Social Security office and they will take that into consideration and in many cases reduce your premium. You said something really interesting, Scott, and that is about retiring. It's a different situation for individuals who reach 65 and are still working, or if their spouse is still working. So if you or your spouse is working for a company with more than 20 employees that offers a group health insurance plan, the group health insurance plan becomes primary to Medicare. This is in most cases. There are some exceptions that we don't have time to get into. So this is the TEFRA part of Medicare. So many people don't know that after 65, they may continue with their group health insurance. Many people then elect to pick up Medicare as a secondary if they are still working or their spouse is working.
Oh, that makes sense. How do people identify which plan is right for them? Like, how do you figure that out?
There are a lot of resources online. But unfortunately, what we find is most people don't take advantage of them. They ask their friends. They ask people to supermarket. They sometimes ask their doctor. But there are a lot of resources that compare the different benefits online. There are even resources about the prescription plans where you put in the names of the medications that you're taking, and it provides data on what the coverage level is by the different insurance companies. We strongly encourage people who are approaching 65 to do as much research as they can online or to go seek the advice of somebody who's knowledgeable in this area who can walk them through the process.
Good stuff. And a lot of people at CG can help with that, I'm sure. We'll get to that in just a moment. What's the biggest piece of advice that you can give to somebody that is approaching 65 years old and they are thinking about the Medicare process?
They shouldn't react to the first person who tries to sell them things. Unfortunately, Medicare, because it's a government program, nobody earns a commission on you taking Medicare. But there are some Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage plans where insurance brokers may earn commissions. Now, I'm not saying that any insurance brokers aren't entitled to their commissions. They certainly are for providing advice. But sometimes individuals are apt to more strongly recommend plans for which they may receive a commission. One of the most common Medicare supplement plans is the one that's provided by AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, which I believe you qualify for it at 55, although the age keeps getting younger and younger. Those plans are administered by United Healthcare, and that is all a direct application, again, online. But it's important to understand whether or not the plans that you're looking at have any type of pre-existing condition clause or limitations. So you have to read the small print and understand. Most of the premiums are relatively standard, except if you have a history of smoking. a number of the plans still surcharge for the Medicare supplements individuals who smoke or have a long-term history of smoking. But it's really a case of read, read, read. Now, when someone gets close to 65, their mailbox will become overloaded with flyers and information from every insurance company you can imagine. Not entirely sure how all of our birth dates are open to everybody in the world, but they will get an incredible amount of information. And sometimes it's as simple as taking it all, laying it out side by side, and looking at what are the things that are most important to you. For instance, on some of the Medicare Advantage plans, you may not have an additional premium other than the Medicare Part B premium you would pay anywhere. But if you look at the plan in a little more detail, you might find out that for each hospitalization, you might have a $250 per day copay for the first 5 days of the hospitalization. So that's $1,250. Let's say you're a patient who has chronic pulmonary obstructive disease, or congestive heart failure, and you're hospitalized two or three times a year. Mm-hmm. Well, that may be an additional $2,500 out of your pocket that you have to take into consideration when you price out what these plans are going to cost you.
It certainly can get very complicated. The alphabet soup is only the tip of the iceberg, which is why it's very important to talk to a professional like yourself and do all the research and get all the assistance that you can. Where can the listeners go to get in touch with you, Mike, and also learn more about CG's healthcare services and Medicare?
Well, we can always be reached at our offices in Toms River and Tinton Falls, and my email address is mlewis@cgteam.com. We're happy to speak with people who have questions about this process. It is unfortunate that we take people who are at a fragile time in their lives, and make them subject to some of the most complicated healthcare decisions that they will have to make. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing.
Well, that's why people like yourself and the other professionals at CG are here to help out. Mike, appreciate the time and the insight. Great conversation, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Scott.
A lot of really helpful information there from Mike. Again, Mike Lewis, who is a former partner here at CG's Healthcare Services Group, now serving as director after his partial retirement. I want to thank you guys for tuning into this episode of the CG Business Advisor. And for more information about our podcast or about everything that we offer here at CG, you can head to our website at cgteam.com. While you're there, you can click on the podcast link, find all of our episodes, and feel free to reach out. Learn how you could be a part of the CG Business Advisor and perhaps reach a different audience than you normally do. We're more than happy to talk about a variety of topics that are important to all of our audiences. Thanks again for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time right here on the CG Business Advisor.